we had a couple that were similar to this, and one person said, listening to some of the other ideas on negative things that, you know, they experienced from bad leaders, I might be doing some of those things. Yep. It was just, oh, it was just perfect. Like, but because of course he is, like we all are.
Here we go again. Mark and Mike telling you what they think, even when they're not really thinking. Welcome to It Doesn't Take a Genius.
Ramsey!
Oh, Marshall, you know, 4 days in a row is a lot. But
four
we have seen
days, four days of what?
Four days of getting to hang out, to have the majority of our meals together. We've had a good time on the road.
Yes, yes. And just for the record, we had separate hotel rooms. Just saying. Yeah, it wasn't that much togetherness.
Shout out to Nick, somebody that I worked with in my first job out of college. And we did have to share a hotel room. And we did watch the Jamie Kennedy experiment and cried laughing. I remember how hard we laughed at that. So shout out, Nick.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, a friend of mine, as punishment to their child for, you know, for being, you know, a young child, they made him read the book A Child Called It.
Yeah.
It's like, you think you got it bad. And I had forgotten. I don't know why I'd forgotten, but I had roomed with the author David Pelzer for a road trip.
What?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. We were doing some speaking engagements together, and we just roomed together, and I was like, oh yeah, I forgot I roomed with that guy. Yeah.
Well, I have many questions. I'll ask you off the air.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. And we hung out and we had some amazing experiences.
We did.
We're doing some workshops, for some veteran leaders.
Yep.
Folks, some cases who've been leading for 20, 30 years, and some were relatively new. But then we got to do something highly unusual that was really a lot of fun.
An absolute treat. I mean, let's go ahead and say it, because we just never get to do it from the reverse. You know, it was so cool. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Highly progressive organization said, hey, what if we vetted some folks who are currently frontline team members who aspire to be more and do more, to be leaders? What if we started training them and giving them some tools before they became leaders, before we actually promoted them? Brilliant.
What a concept.
Yeah. Ooh. And so, you know, we start off with some basic stuff, and, you know, everybody comes to, you know, it's one of our beliefs. Everybody comes to the class with experience, and they've seen things and they've done things that all have helped shape who they are, or could shape who they are. And that's so right. One of the exercises that we asked them to do was in small groups, we asked them to brainstorm, who was the best leader that you've ever had, and what made them a great leader? And so we had them talk together in their small groups, and we kind of collected that up onto flip charts. And
yeah, just words and phrases all over this piece of paper, just tons of ideas of the, you know, these are the things we've seen. These are the things we've observed.
These are the things that we have experienced,
right.
You know, in our short time. So, I was facilitating, you were in the back of the room. What did you see? What was your take on that?
Well, it was, there were a couple things. The first was just how the energy level went up, and they started, you know, like, yeah, I had this guy, and the energy went up, but it was like an emotional kind of energy. Like it was a, you know, remembering fondly somebody, or, you know, really, really appreciating somebody that, you know, there were stories being shared about, you know, people who had said things to them that were heartfelt, in some cases hard to hear. You know, all these stories bubbled up about things that leaders had done that were these moments where they really nailed it for this person. Or the alternate was, this steady behavior that they always observed out of this person. You know, he always treated me with respect. He always talked to me appropriately. She always gave me encouragement. You know, she was always asking, you know, how my family was. Just all these, they were all over the board, but they were all these really positive things that caused people's energy levels to just kind of go up a little bit, moments or long-term behaviors. It was really, really fun to be in the back, just sort of, you know, listening in.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was fabulous. Yeah. And your observation is spot on. It was kind of a solemn energy, like a respectful, right. I had this guy and,
yeah,
you know, he was caring and he connected with you and he led by example and he was approachable, you know, and she, you know, and she was fun. It was engaging, you know, they cared about you as a person, you know, and it just, yeah, the list was just fabulous, you know,
was.
And so yeah, there was this sharing and people were eager to share, and we captured all that. And then we had a moment of introspection.
Mm-hmm.
And so we asked the second question. And so the second question was, it was basically a request for an activity. And it said, complete this sentence. And the sentence was, I will be known as a blank, fill in the blank, leader. And mm-hmm. So the idea of, let's begin with the end in mind. Before you start your leadership journey, before you even begin, decide what type of leader you'll be known. What are the attributes that people will say about you if asked, you know, about you as in your leadership capacity, and to set that intention, that affirmation right now, and using the brainstorm list is not the end all be all list, but it's just a thought starter to get them thinking around that road of what type of positive behaviors make long lasting impact on people as a leader.
And some people began writing right away. Mm-hmm. Some people really did some head scratching. You could see them really thinking, you know, what this was going to mean, because it's a big ask, right? To sort of paint mm-hmm. this vision of, you know, hey, you know, 20 years from now, what's it going to look like when people talk about you as a leader? Some people really, really paused at that moment before they actually started writing things down. I found that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we even talked about that. The 20 years from now, 30 years from now, when you retire, when you walk away, having held a leadership position for decades, when you're at the little retirement and they're cutting the cake and giving you the gold watch, what will people be saying about you as a leader? You know, mm-hmm. that guy, you know, he truly cared. That guy, you know, he helped me grow. He was all about, you know, getting the people around him to perform at a higher level. That yep. person was approachable, whatever it was, right? Is that what they will be saying at the conclusion of your leadership tenure?
Yeah, spot on.
That was cool. And so then, of course, we had to ramp it up.
You did.
And so we asked them, all right, so please share, without naming names or pointing, who was the worst leader you ever had? And what was the attribute, the most outstanding or infamous attribute that made them a bad leader? And what happened to the energy in the room at that point?
So remember that real, like, sort of respectful, somber, emotional energy? That was gone. The energy sort of maybe tenfold from there. Let me tell you. And, you know, then people were sharing. Well, you talk about some stories, right? You had some. It was funny because I think there were more stories shared in the second one than in the first one. The first one, they shared sort of like, you know, a lot of characteristics, behaviors that, you know, they just constantly observed from this person. The second one, if there had been a really negative experience, a really negative event, trust me, it hasn't been forgotten. They are still thinking about how poor that moment was and how that leader failed in that moment. And there were some overall characteristics shared there too, you know, some just ongoing behavior issues. But the energy level, I mean, like the volume in the room went up. I mean, just everything about it was really high energy. Yeah.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it wasn't a good energy.
No, no.
It was more like a, you know, reliving a scar.
Right, right.
Like, yeah, this, oh, he did this. It made me crazy. And you could just feel the emotion coming back, right? They were feeling it again, yeah. Right? The frustration, the anxiety, the fear, the trepidation that they had originally experienced working for this person came back as they right. recounted the stories. Right. Yeah, we got, I was looking at,
you kind of had to cut that off, you know, like yeah. It was like, okay, we're going to have to move on to the next
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. People are hurting themselves. The, you know, just looking at some of the things they put, you know, they were controlling, they were selfish, they were a me monster, they were disorganized. It was the do as I say, not as I do. Just fear. And, you know, some of the other ones, lack of discipline, lazy, you know, no trust.
And somebody said sarcasm, I think.
Narcissistic, sarcasm, yeah. Self-centered, ego, blamed others, you know, wouldn't take responsibility. I mean, it was just...
pretty rough.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
So then, after we stopped that exercise, or at least the discussion part of it, we asked them in their journals to write, to complete this statement. No one will ever say I was a blank leader.
Mm-hmm.
No one will ever say I was a blank leader. Mm-hmm. And what is that? That thing that made them most crazy, as a team member, can I, you know, just make an affirmation that I will never be that guy.
Right. Right. And it was interesting, you know, because that's obviously another resolution, right? I resolve I will never be like that guy in this specific way, right? Because you had gotten them to play it out, tease it out, what it was, talk about it. And now it's like, okay, what am I going to commit to say that specifically is something I'm going to make sure I don't do. The one that really caught me as you debriefed that was these students were phenomenal. I mean, they were just, you know, they were sponges. They were willing to share, and you put those two things together and, you know, magic happens. But we had a couple that were similar to this. And one person said, listening to some of the other ideas on negative things that, you know, they experienced from bad leaders, I might be doing some of those things.
Yep.
It was just perfect. Like, but because of course he is, like we all are, right? We all have these, you know, bad characteristics, traits, behaviors that we try to weed out. And, you know, sometimes we fall into traps and, you know, to acknowledge that and say, this is something worth thinking about. I need to figure out how that I pull out of that and steer toward the light instead of toward the dark. To have that happen in real time. I mean, I don't know about you, Mike, but like those are the highlights of the week for me to see somebody go, that's it. I'm making a change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The light bulb came on. I was like, wait, I'm him.
Right.
I'm the guy on the bad chart.
Right.
You know, and to see, you know, I think what helped was to see the impact that negative leadership behavior had on the person who was recounting the story. And so they were sitting there watching this person, like, they are really, to, you know, this happened years ago and they're still carrying this around and it's still just, you know, is burned and seared into their brains.
Yeah.
And I might be that guy. Well, for somebody else.
Saying it that way is really powerful to me because, you know, we talk all the time about the AID method. You know, here's the action I observed you do, Mr. Employee, Miss Employee. Here's the impact it had. Here's why it's important, that thing that I saw you do. My desire for the future is don't ever do that again. Please don't do that. You know, action, impact, desire for the future. And what the class got to experience was instead of a manager telling them, hey, here's something you do, it's bad, don't do it. Instead, they got to hear their classmates say, here's something that people do. And let me tell you how it's still impacting me today. I still don't think much of that guy. I still you know, have had to deal with, you know, mental frustrations, emotional frustrations. It, you know, it hamstrung me in my previous role. I left the job. You know, we heard all sorts of things like that. And so the, you know, when you have them fill in the blank, that person has the ability to say, my desire for the future is that I don't do that. So we mm-hmm. took them through action, impact, desire for the future, sort of backwards. I loved it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It was fantastic. And so, yeah. And you think about, you know, all the pop cultural references to the bad boss.
Yep.
You know, it's the foil for so many stories. Yep. And it was easy to see why when you saw the energy around this, that, you know, people are so passionate about the, you know, the experience they had, and they can relate to those pop culture references. And I went with, of course, you know, our good friend Ebenezer yeah. Scrooge.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah. You know, the epitome of the before and after, right? The, you know, the, right. the worst boss and the transformation to the best boss.
Well, and oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, please go ahead.
Well, it's awesome that you thought of that, because it made me think of the place in the story in A Christmas Carol where he is given an opportunity by the spirit of Christmas past to think about the best boss he ever had. And, you know, he goes through talking about Fezziwig and, you know, he's getting to see the Christmas party that Fezziwig put on. And I'll put it up on the screen when we edit the video, but let me read to you the exchange, because the ghost of Christmas past absolutely baits him. You know, like, he didn't take him through a nice facilitated exercise the way you did, Mike, but, you know, sort of goaded him into thinking this through. So the ghost of Christmas past says, a small matter to make these silly folks so full of gratitude, you know, at the Christmas party and the dancing and all that. Small, echoed Scrooge. The spirit signed to him to listen to the two apprentices, who were pouring out their hearts in praise of Fezziwig. And when he had done so, said, why, is it not? He has spent but a few pounds of your mortal money, 3 or 4 perhaps. Is that so much that he deserves this praise? It isn't that, said Scrooge, heated by the remark and speaking unconsciously like his former, not his latter self. It isn't that, spirit. He has the power to render us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or burdensome, a pleasure or a toil. Say that his power lies in words and looks, in things so slight and insignificant that it is impossible to add and count them up. What then? The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a fortune.
Wow.
You know, he hasn't made his transformation yet, right? Like, he hasn't totally figured right. it out, and yet he still realizes, wait, all those little things where I made somebody's work under me, you know, burdensome toil or light, and pleasant, all those little things, the little words, the, you know, one lump of coal a day, you know, pick your thing in the story that he does that, you know, belittles Bob Cratchit or limits Bob Cratchit in the work he can get done by not heating his room. It's all those little things are starting to come back to him, and he's saying, wait a minute, I saw this done positively. Mm-hmm. I saw how this could work. So he's starting to get a little glimpse of what he could transform into.
Yes. Oh, that's so powerful. And the fact that he's arguing with the spirit, right?
Right.
You're not seeing the big picture.
Right.
Well,
right.
Neither are you. Yeah, right. You're missing it in your own life.
That's exactly right.
That is so cool. We ended that particular session with a wonderful quote from John Wooden. And we said, you know, put it on the screen, the most powerful leadership tool you have is your own personal example. And you know, just like all this that we've talked about, right? You can be a personal example, a role model for good. You can be a personal example, a role model for bad. And at some point, your team members might be in a room with a facilitator someday who says, tell me about the best leader you ever had. How cool would it be for your name to come up?
That's exactly right. We sent them out of the room thinking about, you know, what had been most useful for you. We always do that. And we always you know, sort of give them a charge. And so I'm really excited the next time we come back to see these folks, to see how they've, you know, sort of implemented what they've seen so far, and what they've really thought through so far, played around with. And I think, you know, that ultimately is always the goal of coaching, right? Is we want you to reach awareness and then take action. So hopefully they've thought about good leadership and bad leadership behaviors and activities and things under their control. And now they're going to go take some control and, mm-hmm. and do some things that show good leadership. So I'm excited. I thought it was a really cool exercise.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A lot of fun. And yeah, some of them were currently in a leadership role. They're just beginning it.
Yep.
Others, they didn't have the role, but we were animate that you can lead without a title.
That's exactly right.
You know, everyone is a leader. You can lead from any seat, and that they had the opportunity to begin doing this today, you know, the moment they got back to work.
Well, and you go back to A Christmas Carol, right? By the end, not only is Scrooge a transformed leader, but that guy who was the hourly worker that he, you know, belittled and abused, Bob Cratchit, he makes him a partner. He sees what a leader he already is. And so I think that's, you know, we want everybody to be in that position where people recognize that you're a leader. You don't need a title for that. You just are known as a leader. So I hope people, I hope our audience, both of them, are able to do that.
Absolutely. The good stuff. Is it energizing for the participants and maybe even more energizing for us?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's so cool. All right, we'll flip it over to somebody who's always excited and energized, our announcer, Mr. Wolf. Take it away, Mr. Wolf.
And that's a wrap. The musings of Mark and Mike. No rights reserved, etc. Feel free to share and discuss what you heard today. Even claim the ideas as your own. Who'd want to do that? See you next time on It Doesn't Take a Genius. Thanks.
That's good enough.